One of the easiest ways of, I believe, of having more peace in our lives is remember everything you have doesn't belong to you. The next minute of your life, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Jesus. Amen? All that stuff, if you're like, wait, that all belongs to Him. Why am I worrying about it? Am I following Him? Am I doing what He says to do? Wow! It's all His. So if I follow Him, I know He'll work things out. You know? And sometimes, working things out for you is taking things away from you. And when they're gone, wow, it's a rejoicing. It's hard to start over sometimes, right? It's hard to give up things that are familiar with you. But when the Lord, you say, God, I want to check my heart, remove whatever's out of you, and He starts doing that, and once they're gone, I think, man, I didn't realize how much pressure that was. Trust in Him. Trust in Him. Yeah, I was sharing last week, guys. Sharing last week, thank you. Last week about look on something that's uplifting and something that's pure, right? And just focus on that. And what did I say I was going to do? Anybody remember what I was going to do last week? Speedometer to turn over. And this morning, at about 18 minutes till 9, on Township Road 149, we hit 200,000 miles. And I got out and took a selfie. First time, I've never taken a selfie with my wife, anything else, but 200,000 miles I took it. Wow. It was funny because yesterday, I was working in the ministry yesterday, I'm thinking, okay, which way do I go here? If I go this way, I thought one time, coming home last night, I was going to be right in front of Chuck and Marty's house. I was going to stop there and take a selfie in front of their house, you know. But when I pulled my driveway last night, it had 199,999.2 miles. I had 0.8 miles to go yet, so I knew this morning we'd do that. And it happened. So, wow. So now we're waiting for 300,000, so we're going to go on that. But he had a long ways to go, you know. I was thinking, wow, it was awesome. But I was thinking, I'm always got figures in my head. And I thought, 200,000 miles equals about 13,333 gallons of gas. That's went through that vehicle. It's 21 years old. So roughly it's about $39,600 I spent, that vehicle spent on gas on that car, that truck. Not counting insurance, tires, not counting oil changes and lubes. Wow. You know, look how much money I would have if I didn't have that truck. Wow. What's that? Yeah. It's funny you say that because they get hold of them anyway. But then God said, okay, let's look at that truck. If I decided, well, I'm not going to drive this truck. Now I've got that kind of money in the bank now. Wow. But look what God did to that truck. That truck was gave to me many years ago. But he says, how many people have been fed because of that truck? Wow. How many people have been comforted because of truck mobility? How many deer have we brought in? All this stuff. You think, wow. So the verse that comes to mind, I think, is in Luke 14, I think it is. Count the cost. Count the cost. And you look at the cost of it, it's nothing compared to what the reward's for, right? I mean, everything belongs to God, right? It's God's truck. We want to do the ministry, God puts the gas in it. Amen? Okay? Now who puts the gas in? God. Whose hands does He use? Yours. We tithe and offerings. Think of that. Every mile I drive for the ministry, you're right there with me. I mean, that's why I crowd in my truck sometimes. There's 80 of us in there, yeah? But it's all, we can't look at, we look at that cost, but look at the cost for eternity. How many lives have been changed because of that truck that God laid upon a man's heart years ago to give it to me. Jesus ministry. We put 130,000 miles on ourselves. Wow. I don't know how many miles a week we do, several hundred. Wow. That's why I say here lately with the price of gas going up, you know, wow. But like I said, God says, hey, I gave you money for gas at $1 a gallon. I can do it $10 a gallon. It's all His, all for His kingdom, you know. But He said, man, just check the cost. And I would say probably if I sat there years ago and said, you're going to buy this truck, Starkey, and you're going to spend $39,000 in gas. Ain't no way. No. I'd be looking somewhere for a mini bike maybe, something. But as I work in the ministry, or as we came into the ministry, it was day by day, right? The cost might be great, but it's really minor compared to the scheme of things. I didn't have to write a check to Han Oil for $39,000 to pay off my gas bill. No, I did it $5 at a time, okay? The cost is there to pay, but it's not humongous because you do it day by day. And to me, that's the same way with the Lord. You know, He said, you're going to follow me? Okay, but count the cost first. Count the cost. Why? Because it's going to cost you everything. Realize that? Huh? No, please, go ahead. Yeah, you got to give it. I mean, you got to realize, okay, that the great cost of following Jesus is everything that you have. Wow, remember what He told the rich man? Okay, you never sinned, never did nothing. Okay, well, just sell all you got and give it to the poor. Okay? He's pretty rich, so he went on down the road, okay? Now, He tells us the same thing. You think, well, I got to sell everything and give it to the poor now? Does Jesus own everything you have now? Amen. He does, okay? So if you laid it upon your heart today to do something with what He gave you, would you do it? Amen. You give it to Him. Amen. Everything. I mean, if you just think, contemplate that for a second. You think, I'm not talking about just your wallet. Your life. What are you going to do this afternoon? Tomorrow? You know? It all belongs to the Lord. And when we get that settled in our spirit, it's like, wow. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Because He's already there with me. And I'm following Him tomorrow. As I'm following Him today. He's already into it. So as I follow His word and allow it to govern me, what does it worry about? What causes worry is when we step out and do things on our own. Okay? We do things that we shouldn't do. And put a kink in things because the path that He's chose us to walk, we just put a little detour on it. And then we go, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. Well, like He said earlier today, repent, confess, come back. Amen? Amen. But yeah, it was quite a week just thinking about that, you know. I mean, I thought more than just turning over 200,000 miles, but just thinking, I thought, okay, 200,000 miles, the tire's going to fall off of it, you know. And I rebuke that. I ain't going down that road. But knowing that Satan will always try to find a way to get into your life, but God's given us a way to keep him out of it. That's His word. We are the keeper of the doors of our life, you know. And last week week before, I can't remember when we have church. We don't have church anymore. I talk so much, I can't remember what I shared one time to another, you know. I pray I get an amen on that somewhere along the line. A silent amen. Well, thank you very much. But we were looking at different ways that we open ourselves up, we allow Satan to get a hold of us, or how we yield ourselves to him. And we don't recognize that time. I mean, we come to church this morning, awesome, we praise, we worship him, we hear the scriptures and stuff, but when we step outside again, how's he getting a hold of us? How did he try to sneak in? How did he try to sneak in? Like, right now, we're down here, and you think, well, is anybody at my house breaking in my house right now? How do I keep him out? Probably do what I do. I leave my doors unlocked. Hey, I live so far away, they're going to break in. At least I have to replace the door when I get home, right? But there's other things in the house that keep people out. So, but we found out some things I had listed last week, that he finds a way to get into our lives, sometimes through our music. Okay? We go back to when we say that our words that we speak are very powerful. They're either life or death. Amen? Yes, okay? But it's any words that we speak. You know, in the songs, that the lyrics of songs, if we're speaking them out, we're enjoying that, it has the same effect on us. If we're opening ourselves up. I mean, the country music has what we call beer drinking music. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's a tear in my beer. Okay? All that kind of, it kind of get you down and out. Next thing you know, you're getting depressed and you want to go out and you want to get drunk. You want to try to drown your sorrows, stuff like that. Boom! But, if, instead of listening, I got a tear in my beer, but he's worthy of it all. He's worthy of it. I know I can't sing, but I can sing. You just have to listen to it. See the difference right there, what it is, man? And his, as we worship him, his presence comes into our life. I mean, more than it is now. It strengthens us. It raises us up. So when we're down and out, we're getting down, last thing I want to do is turn on that music. It'll take you down farther. You know what I'm saying? It's praise and worship music. It's uplifting music, you know. A wholesome music, what we want coming into our lives. But he'll find a way to sneak in there. And what I think is I find it amazing myself today even, is the more I hear the Word of God, the more of a strainer he puts in my life. I mean, there's movies that I watched for years and years over time. And man, awesome movies, you know. But then, as you get more tended to the ears to the Word of God, you start hearing things in the movie you never heard before. Well, I never knew they cussed in that movie. Wow. I never knew they had nudity in that movie. I better back up and make sure it was. No. But now, what the Word of God does then, in my spirit is growing by listening to His Word. I, wow. Now, I've got a decision to make. Do I still want to watch that movie? Or am I done with it? You know, if the movie isn't uplifting the Lord, it's going to be detrimental to me. Okay? Just a little thing like that. Some people say, well, Pastor, you're going to extremes. You're going to extremes. You know, a cuss word in a movie here or there. I mean, or, you know, I can always pause it. Well, I'm convinced anything that you watch on TV, any movie that goes out there, either there to glorify the Lord or take a person away from the Lord. Everything has a motive behind it. Understand that. Everything does. Anything, any song that goes out there, any show that goes out there, any entertainment, it's one way or the other. And so, again, you're the guardian of your temple, okay? I'm just sharing some areas, sharing some of the scriptures to help you. Maybe you can figure out, well, oh man, that's how the old devil's getting in there to me. Not possessing you, but how he's influencing your life. Man, I'm doing really great, but then, you know, on Wednesday nights when I watch Dancing with the Stars, or whatever the shows are, or what are they, Brothers, or these reality shows you have out there, oh my lands. I don't watch them, but I hear a lot about them on Facebook, and they're terrible things, but people watch those shows. And they either get encouraged by them, like, man, someday I'll get a body like that and have all them women chasing after me.
I watch Dr. Poole.
You watch who? Dr. Poole? You watch a veterinarian, don't you? Yeah, no. I watch Justin Wilson, the Cajun cook, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You get that chicken right there, and you cut it up, and yep. I know. But you're right. It's so important, whatever we're bringing in here. Okay? And so, if you look at yourself, and I've got some struggles going on here, I don't know why I'm up and down all the time, see what you allow coming into your life. Okay? That could be part of it right there. Yeah. The other thing is hearing the Word of God, but not implementing it into our life. You know, the Bible says it's kind of like looking into the mirror. You look at yourself, and the minute you walk away, you don't remember what you look like. Okay? What's that? Amen? You think I'm ugly when I look in the mirror? Okay. I know what you're saying. But just for us to see different ways. Because, folks, listen. We are the most powerful body there is on earth. Think of that. The body of Christ. We are the most powerful weapon there is on the face of this earth. But at times it seemed like we were walking as the most defeated group of people in the world. Why? Because we don't know who we are. We don't know how the enemy's getting in. Carol might know the answer. My mind's blank. The military person, every time they tried to come against Israel, it was like they had an enemy in the camp. And they kept spoiling the... Can you remember? Hezekiah, okay. We'll just call it COVID fog, right? Yeah. But it's like having an enemy in the camp. Like, every time you get ready to do something, it's like you get spoiled. Why? Why didn't it turn out the way you want to? Why didn't I do what I wanted to do? Because Satan will find a way to get an enemy into the camp, into your thought life, or into your life at all. And just to spoil what you have planned for tomorrow, or the next day, or the next day. And when we recognize that, and how he's getting in there, man, we can shut it down. If we want to. I want to be the most powerful body on the face of the earth. I want to speak the name of the Lord. I want Christ to do what he wants to do through us. I want him to set people free. I want people to come to know Christ. And I we're only here for a short period of time. You know, Friday night we were singing the song, when I've been there 10,000 years, with Amazing Grace, I think it is. 10,000 years. Wow, that's a long time. Our time on this earth is very short, right? So whatever we go through on earth, whatever we have to sacrifice of our own wants, the fleshy stuff, it's worth it for eternity in the presence of God. You know, we got to watch out. We don't trade our eternity with God for a little bit of joyful time here on earth if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. You know, and Satan wants to trip us up that way. Man, you know. You ever feel guilty? You ever sin and feel guilty? Amen. Well, praise God that you do. That's a good thing. Then you repent. Does it take you some time to go to the Lord and we confess it? You're like, damn, Bernie, I did it again. And so instead of going to him, getting off your chest, you wait a couple of days. How can I talk to God? How can he forgive me again? But the minute you do, boom, it's like that 10,000 pounds come off your chest when you realize he already forgave you 2 days ago. It messed up. Keep going. Okay. Well, during those 2 days that you were absent from him, you know, when you felt bad about it, did it interfere with your prayer life? Probably did. Did you intercede for anybody? Probably not. Why? Because you're so mad at yourself, wasn't you? So upset yourself that, man, he did it again. Wow. But the minute you come to your senses, you repent, you know that you're God hears your prayers, you're back in the battle again. But see, this is 2 days that we were soaking, put it that way. Is soaking, sulking? Sulking? Okay. When we were down and out from 2 days, how many people out there kind of like paid the price for us? How many people that we wouldn't be able to intercede for? Not saying that God didn't move upon somebody's heart to pray for somebody. But man, we realize, man, God, my life is yours. My life is yours. And I don't want to fall in these traps. I don't want to get mad. I don't want to get upset at people, you know. I don't want to get to the point where I don't pray for people. You know, one thing he tells us to do, to pray for those in authority over us. And I pray that as a congregation, and we do often publicly here, is praying for Mr. Biden and the staff. We pray for physical healing, mental healing. We pray that their eyes be opened to know Jesus. Amen. But at the same time, we are praying that the evildoers of this country is in charge be removed from power. Amen. Right? I want this country to be a better place for my children, my grandchildren. Okay? And the only way that's going to happen if we stand up on the Word of God, speak it out, and put people in the power that honor God. Amen. Amen. But that's doing what he wants us to do. Pray for those in authority. Pray without ceasing, he says. Pray daily. He wants us to do that. And I know what it's like. I was sharing Friday night, and I always pick on my wife, but you know, there have been days during our marriage that for some reason she gets upset with me. Okay. Months. And rightfully, she has the right to be upset with me. Why? Because I'm a man, okay? And the worst part is, when I mess up, not go on there and say, listen, I blew it again. We have a habit of times that, yeah, I know I did wrong. Yeah, I understand that. I shouldn't have said that. I should have done this. I'm tired of town. I'm sorry all the time. So we go maybe a day or two, and it's been a long time ago. We talk all the time anymore because we're all we got. The kids are gone. So. But instead of going right then and say, honey, I blew it again, and have that tension gone, we might go a day or two. And look what we lost. You know? But the minute I realized, hey, he was right, I was wrong. I admit that, I just feel better in my heart. Her love for me never changed. She still loved me. Okay? It wasn't her really not talking to me. It's me. Out of my guilt I had that I blew it again, I opened my stupid mouth up again. I shut down, you know? But the minute I humble myself and confess it to her, it's restored again. And folks, the same way with God. Okay? He doesn't stop loving us when we sin. Understand that. But that sin in our life, it really messes us up because we don't think we can go to Him because we feel so guilty. How can I go to Him and pray or ask Him for this or that? Because get it off of your chest right then. But just realize, how does it happen? How does He get in my head again? How does Satan bring up my past again? And again, it can be through music, your thought process, what you think about, you know. That's why we say that we should always, in Philippians 4:8, while I was sharing there last week, it says, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellent, and if anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So, it goes back to, again, maybe the lyrics we're listening to in our music, okay? Are they worthy to be praised the Lord with it, you know? If I'm listening to my music and I'm singing along, would Jesus play the bass for me, you know, or not? You know, just, again, this is for all of us to go through. And I'm not up here. I used to go to a church one time years ago, a congregation, a denomination, and they would give you a paper every month and tell you what movies you can watch, what movies you can't watch, what all this stuff. And folks, you don't need that. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead you. Amen? That's why I'm saying that the more we hear the Word of God, the more we understand what He wants to do, it's more that we kind of build our spirit up. And when something tries to enter our life that's not of the Lord, boom! Starkey, you don't need that. You don't need that. So we work out our salvation daily, amen? And we walk our path with what God's given us. But when our hearts desire that, God, I want all that You want for me, for this world to share, then we say, hey, God, show me. Show me what's going on. Maybe I'm not thinking on the things that should be, okay? Maybe some of the things I'm doing isn't praiseworthy. And they're probably not, because why? Because we're growing in the Lord, right? You ever go through your garden and pick out weeds? Do you go back out next day and check them again, or next day after that, or you pick weeds one time, you're done for the year? Well, it depends on what kind of fruit you want to get out of your garden, right? Okay, you learn to check it every day, and it's a lot easier to weed your garden every day to get one little guy out of there than wait till 2 weeks later to go in there, and the task is so big, like, man, I'll go to Bueller's and buy my stuff, you know? So every day, make sure that the weeds, we're not letting the weeds grow in our life. And that's by following the Word of God. It says in Proverbs 27:17, he says, iron sharpens iron. So one person sharpens another. So it goes back to, in our presence together today, or in fellowship with other Christians and stuff, it's like, if you know anything about iron, but if you rub iron together, your blades and stuff, you ever sharpen a knife? That's metal against metal, holding a different angle. It sharpens a dull blade. And so we all can get dull. We all get to the point where we're not hearing the Word of God like we should, or things in our life is finding a way into our life that shouldn't be there. But when you get along to a brother or sister in the Lord, a true brother and a sister in the Lord, who is not afraid to say, listen, God says to do this and not do this. Oh, okay. I'm sharpening on, like, oh man, you're right. But my senses got dull, you know. I haven't been in fellowship. I haven't been talking to God because I sinned. I fell away a few months ago, whatever it might be. Hey, come back to Him. Repent and pray that brother or sister and reestablish his life with the Lord and go on. That's iron sharpened iron, you know. It's not just the fellowship part if I was hanging out with Ryan, he's my son, but he's more than my son. He's a man of God, okay? And if I'm hanging out with him, he would have no problem saying, hey, Dad, what's going on here? Now, do you think it takes a lot of guts to mention that to your dad? Yes. But doing things take more love? Amen. And he would bring to my attention because he cares about me. Because he sees me as a man of God. I'm his dad, but more than that, a man of God. And he owes it to God to make sure that he shares what God puts on his heart. You know, and he shared many things in his life and with me. God gave him a word for me for encouragement and stuff like that. And I received that because I want to know what God's saying. Sometimes you can't hear God's voice because you're thinking about other things. And someone else God will speak to and have him bring that to you. That's where iron sharpens iron. And there's nothing more sharper and better than the truth. And the truth has to be spoken in a loving way. But the truth has to be spoken in order for iron to sharpen iron, for us to be alert and more acceptable to the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 18. It's talking about the friends we hang out with, okay? Anybody got new friends today than you had 50 years ago, maybe? 40, yeah, okay. I got a lot of different friends today. Probably the main choice because the old friends don't want to hang around me anymore, okay? But they're still my friends in my heart. I mean, I still care for them, and they'd call me tomorrow, I'd be there to help them, but I would bring Jesus with me to share with them. But 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 18, it says, do not be mismatched with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and lawlessness share together? Or what does light have in common with darkness? Or what harmony does Christ have with Beelzebul? Or what does a believer share with unbeliever? Or what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And just as God said, I will dwell among them and walk among them. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you and I will be a father to you. And you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. The key word there is do not be mismatched, do not be attached to. Don't let your, nowadays, would be, don't let your posse be unbelievers. Okay? He's not saying not to witness to unbelievers. Amen? Okay? But your core group, your people that you're with, to be born again Christian, to be believers, to encourage one another. And when you get together, you know, if you're having a maybe you're having a Monopoly night at your house. Monopoly? Checkers? Yeah, checkers are more my speed, okay? If you have checkers night at your house and you invite your brothers and sisters of the Lord over to checkers night, hey, before you get started, nothing like having prayer before you get started. Amen? For other folks, you know? Don't pray that you're going to win, Jeff, okay? But just let Christ take center in your gatherings, wherever you might be at, okay? Then out there in the world, wherever you go, you got Christ with you. And don't be afraid to share the gospel, okay? But your core people you hang out with, he said, it's got to be believers. Otherwise, you get wore down. I know we think, well, I'm walking the group here and what they're doing and I'm going to be a light shining in darkness. And if you're there by yourself and you're around 15 other people had nothing to do with the Lord, I'm telling you what good chances are they're going to start breaking you down spiritually because especially doing things that you used to do. If that old song comes back on again, go back to the lyrics of songs. And next thing you know, you slowly start slipping back to where you come from. Those in that circle, pray for them. Be a witness when you can. But don't let the world be your entertainment. And I know sometimes we get to a point in our life like, man, I want to go see a movie. Let's go see a movie, Carol. And you look at what's carrying out in the movie, think, oh, man, that's rated R. This one over here, I don't know what the ratings are, PG-13, parental guidance, 17 and above. Well, let's go this one, Carol. It's less of two evils. And they already tell you up front that there's language in that thing. Amen? Yeah. So think hard about it before you go in. You know, you're going to take what God belongs to the Lord, which is your finances, and you're going to invest it into a couple hours of your life. Just make sure, you know, something uplifting and wholesome. Just be careful. Again, I'm not telling you how to live your life. I'm just showing you what can take place. You get into the movie, and that word or two can come in there. Have you ever, before you know Jesus, have you ever been around a youngster and maybe let a word slip that you shouldn't? And the next thing that youngster says it, you get a witness? Amen. It's hard to bring that word back, ain't it? No, I didn't say that. No. I said you make up a word that sounds like it, okay? But it's already out there. But it's the same with our eyeballs and our ears. We go and we watch something that we shouldn't. It gets in our eyes, and then it gets in our memory banks. And when we hear something, then it gets in there too. And we hear often enough, what comes in is going to do what? It's going to come back out again. And so again, we need to learn from experience that I don't want to do that, you know. Many of us who are military, law enforcement, EMTs, through the course of your life, you've seen stuff that most people should never see. And you got that. Well, myself, I have a safe in my head, a big vault. But all them sights that I've seen in my lifetime is behind that. I closed the door. I got rid of them. I had to really concentrate on that door to open it up to remember what things used to look like, okay? But if I had a choice, I would never want to see them. But I had to, okay? But out here now, folks, we have a choice where we spend our time. We have a choice of what comes into our life. You know, and whatever comes in and wants to do one or two things, he's going to uplift us and bring God glory, or he's going to try to tear us down. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that every movie you watch has to be, you know, the Ten Commandments. So, I'm not ready to say Gone with the Wind. For some reason, Gone with the Wind came in my mind. Okay? But a wholesome movie. Okay? A good uplifting movie. Years ago, it used to be Walt Disney. You know, I love the little talking bears and stuff. I mean, back in the day, back in the 60s, you know. But not today. Walt Disney is there to advance the transgender lifestyle, the homosexual lifestyle, CRT, all that stuff. It's completely opposite. And so we have to consider ourselves, do we want to support an organization that's coming after to destroy your kids and grandkids? Again, there's always something behind a movie. There's always a spirit that governs behind that thing. And remember, Satan always comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Doesn't matter how he does it, what he uses to get in there. Amen? He says, or what does light have in common with darkness? Or what harmony does Christ have with the devil? Or what does a believer share with an unbeliever? Again, verse 16, or what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, as I read earlier, that he dwells in us. Probably if, well, most of our grandparents already, but to invite your grandparents into your home, and let's say you're going to spend a couple of days, you'd probably be very cautious probably of the activity inside your home, right? I would say, yes. I can remember years ago I went to a wedding. I didn't perform the wedding, but I went to a wedding. And it broke my heart because after the wedding, we have grandparents, great-grandparents. We have all of these people gathered celebrating their life. We just had a minister speak God's word into their life and stuff. And then they have the after, what do you call it? Reception. There we go. I knew we had something like that. And the DJ starts playing music. And the music is so vulgar. And I saw the bride and the groom up there, and they were, well, never mind what they was doing, okay? It broke my heart. I said, we just had God invited him in the presence of this union. We have all the folks from both sides of the family there, and now they're seeing this. But the thing of it is, the bride and groom had no idea. That's just what they do. They didn't have a relationship with Jesus. Amen? This is how he sneaks in there. And so what we do through the course of time, we share the gospel and try to break down that wall. And we'll let you see what true love is, what God wants into their life. But watching what comes in into our life, coming into your temple, whatever you see today, you know, most of you can tell the day when I come to church, I have my window down. My hair is standing up. Remember, brother? You'll see us till next week, till Friday again, okay? But whatever comes in your life, Christ is in there. And to me, the best way of deciding whether you want it to come in your life or not is, oh, Jesus, would he want to watch that? Would he want to see that? Great way. As for me, you might have a different way of trying to filter things out. But listening to his word and allowing that word to govern us. Psalms 119:11. A couple more verses for the day. How this? Oh, I forgot Psalms, that long one. What's that? I know. Someday Psalm 119 should be our memory verse. The winner gets a Ford pickup truck with 200,000 miles on it, sir. He says, your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Or your word I have hidden in my heart, some translation says, that I will not sin against you. It's saying otherwise, concentrating so much on this word of God that's in my heart. What comes through your heart? Your life comes through your heart. I have it. Why? Because I don't want to sin against God. You know, that is our heart's desire, should be as a Christian, that we don't want to sin against God. And like I said earlier, we do. We mess up. It makes us feel terrible, which is awesome that we repent from it. Okay? But the more the Word of God in our life, the less we won't sin. Why? Because we don't want to. It's not that I'm waiting for God to throw down a thunderbolt at me and wipe me out. A lightning bolt, I guess. Yeah. No. He won't. He loves me. I'm born again. I'm his child, okay? But when I mess up, man, it just separates me from him, not him from me. And I want to please him. I want to do things for him. I want to be a good witness for Jesus. Amen? I mean, how many lives out there today have you already touched because of your walk with the Lord? How many lives have you been able to witness to by the way you live your life? I mean, a smile on your face, you know? I mean, it's amazing. I mean, if you ever go through a drive-thru, I share on Friday night, you got to wait for a long time to get through it. And that little girl or the guy's ready to take your money. Hey, how you doing today? A smile on your face. Because I always try to wear my hat. I got a Christian hat I wear. Just to say, well, that first guy cussed me out. He had a Harley Davidson hat on. And the second one had Jesus on. Nothing on Harley Davidson, guys. Don't write me no letters, okay? But again, yeah, a kind word, a smile on the face, just to uplift. You know, how many more lives that God already have lined up that are going to cross your path this coming week? Wow. Awesome. You don't know. See, the last thing I want to do is have you have somebody going to come across my life Wednesday at 2 o'clock. And I get up Wednesday morning, mad at God, and him I ain't talking because it's my stupidity. And there goes that chance I had to witness somebody on down the road. I don't want that. You know? Again, I hear about King David said, Lord, search my heart. You know? Or, married guys, This helps out a lot. Morning, honey. Forgive me any dumb stuff I'm going to do today. Okay? I'm already forgiven. Okay? It's kind of like what we do in the morning when we read our salutations and stuff that we, our decorations, you know. And remind us who we are in Christ, that He's with us, He's going to go with us. And if I just listen to Him, if I just take it slower, but be quick to listen, but slow to speech. How much wisdom is in that? Have you ever done what they call, ever shot your mouth off? You know what I mean by that? You spoke too quick? Yeah. Put in your mouth. Well, that'd be too bad. Put in the mouth, you can't say too much. But, right. Right. So we just take the opportunity to listen and then say, okay, how do you want me to respond, Lord? Same way if someone comes up to you and says, hey, will you pray for me? Whatever it might be. Before you jump real quick into the prayer, say, yes, let's take a moment. And let the Holy Spirit just speak to you. Sometimes the prayer that they need is nothing that they even ask you about. Something that God might reveal to you to share with their life. That, hey, this is going on, this is why it's happening, whatever it might be. But allowing the Holy Spirit to give you direction when you speak the Word of God's out. Why? Because our words are very powerful. Think about it. Our words are very powerful. There's no blank words that go out of our mouth. They're either going to build people up or tear people down. It's either going to bring God glory or we're going to be talking what the devil is doing. You know, I'm tired of talking what the devil is doing. It's what God has done in our life. Each one of you here today, you're different today than before you found Christ. Or He found you. How are you going to put it that way? And folks, as we continue walking with Him, you'll be different tomorrow, the next day, and the next day. Do not allow the defeats of this past week or last month to keep you from going where God wants you at this coming week, this month, this year. And His Word is true. Now we believe His Word is powerful, right? We believe His Word is alive and active, right? Amen. We believe His Word can change anything. Okay, so make sure this coming week, when you speak, in a situation, speak His Word. Speak His Word. What does His Word say about that? Speak it out. And let God do what He's come to do. Let's work through us to make a difference in our lives. Amen? Amen.